So the work I'll be presenting today is a result of a collaborative effort with Bobbi Philip. Many of you know her in Massachusetts. And the exciting thing for us in Massachusetts was the creation and the existence of the MPIC survey in and of itself. There are few opportunities to actually access and really understand what is going on nationally and to have that kind of information available. And as in many areas of public health, the existence of surveillance data provide a catalyst for change. We're a very data-oriented society. Our culture is very data-oriented. Show me the data is often a requirement before any change can occur. So we felt that the existence of this survey was a way to really motivate change in our state. We have a small state. There are 50 maternity sites in the state, and we were able to take that situation and try to leverage it to our advantage. The other thing that's interesting to note about this is that many of the hospitals only heard about the survey, many of the breastfeeding advocates in the state had only heard about the survey after it was done. And they thought, wait a minute, what's going on here? Why don't I get the survey? And some of those issues came up as well. And so there's a question of how the networks evolve in terms of getting this information more widely available. We have no relationships to disclose. And so our vision was that we could use the MPIC scores to identify strengths, gaps, motivation for improvement with this quality improvement mindset. My background is in quality improvement, and how do you take that mindset and apply it to infant feeding practices across the board, particularly evidence-based feeding tied to breastfeeding. And so we did an invitation-only summit. That was a bit controversial in and of itself to do an invitation-only summit, but we were really striving to gather the leaders from the hospitals and create a safe environment for them to share their experiences in changing practices and implementing change in the hospital environment. We had no fees for participating because we were able to get funding from the Transforming Birth Fund of the New Hampshire Charitable Foundation and subsequently from the W.K. Kellogg Foundation as well, and Bobbi was instrumental in securing those. In addition to that, I want to note that in this month's issue of the Journal of Human Lactation, we have the summit written up. And so you can see it in a summary of what I'm saying today. A lot of that is in that article. So what did we have in terms of participation at the summit? We had between 80 and 90 individuals at each summit, one in 2009 and one in 2010. We had between 68 and 70 facilities represented. But we actually were covering a higher percentage of the births in Massachusetts. So it's very rare that we had an opportunity to gather 85% of the people who are responsible for 85% of the births. Now, you'll see this will pale in comparison to Indiana momentarily. So I'm humbled by what they were able to accomplish in Indiana by that. But at the time, we thought that was really a significant accomplishment. And overall, we had good feedback about the summit, about the speakers at the summit. So I want to discuss with you the format we used for engaging getting everybody excited about changing practices related to breastfeeding using the MPIC as a catalyst. So the format we used was a one-day summit between 8 and 2 p.m. We had a Department of Public Health welcome, and then Bobbi Philip did an inspirational keynote, and then Larry Grummer-Strong did a plenary presentation where he really went through in depth the national MPIC data and the individual state data in Massachusetts so that you could really see how the facilities in Massachusetts were stacking up against the national comparison. And of course, the culture in New England and the culture in Boston, that got everybody pretty excited because everyone, you know, there is that spirit of driving change with wanting to be better and at least equivalent or better than peers, and that is part of our culture, so we figure out how to harness that energy in a constructive way. And that was one reason why we did it that way. We left it open discussions at lunch, and we also asked everyone to go around the room and introduce themselves at the summit so people could hear who was there and the roles they had at the summit. And they were all nurse managers, they were all in some kind of leadership role with responsibility. In the afternoon, we did workshops about how to apply QI methods or about how to bound the bags, real hands-on kind of work related to this is how to do something in the hospital environment. In the case of the 2010 summit, we actually wanted to go one step further and had participants actually sharing case studies. So we had the bulk of the day related to specific improvements that they had been working on in the prior year. And so we had 8 different presentations corresponding to activities in the different parts of the MPINC. And for example, we had an example of the postpartum care contact between mother and infant. The hospital went through, Melrose Wakefield Hospital in this case, went through how they did rooming in, how they tried it for 4 hours in the middle of the day, and then it was kind of getting stuck, and then they decided they had to go cold turkey and do these sessions and actually change the whole culture around them. They actually shared some of the exciting aspects and some of the difficulties and some of the resistance they encountered in that. And I really felt that they really felt the ability to share that with peers was empowering. And also we talked about the new joint commission and how to measure rates. So what were the factors that were driving the sentiment goals? These 5 factors have been documented as a way you can really talk about system change. And this is coming from the literature, and it applies across quality improvement. And some of it's pretty common sense. An impetus to transform, a leadership commitment to quality. The leaders of the organization have to be committed. The improvement has to actively engage the staff. The people in your facilities know what they need to do to change things and what the barriers are. They know best. Quality improvement's all about ask someone who's doing it if you want to change it and want to improve it. We need to talk about the alignment of what's going on in the organization, of resources and other things. How can I do this and this and this? I've got these 7 plates spinning in the air. Which one you want me to drop if I'm going to fix something else? I mean, this is the reality of delivering care. And finally, we have to figure out how to bridge some of the traditional silos that exist in the area. So those philosophies, those success factors were really driving how we set up the summit. That's why we did it invitation only. We did free participation of the hospital staff. And then we really try to say, here are the data. And here are the data and how they link to hospital activities. And here's what you can do, and here's what your peers are doing in that area. We had a town hall at each of the summits where people could express some of their success stories and their frustrations and skepticism about, are you really collecting exclusive rates, and how are you defining exclusive, and you know, wait a minute, you say this exclusive, we don't say that's exclusive, and some of those really hard issues, and I think that made a difference in terms of feeling like we're all in this together as opposed to we're all competing for patients, which is often the case in environments like the Massachusetts environment. The other thing that was important was the addition of the Joint Commission, first the MPINC and then the Joint Commission, really said this is on the horizon. Even though it's a voluntary quality improvement standard and hospitals can choose to adopt a perinatal care core measure, this is a precursor to potentially becoming mandatory. As all of you know, maternity is the second most common reason for admission to the hospital. And all these changes and all these attention to some of these things with Medicare, CMS not being, you know, paying hospitals for hospital-induced infections and things like that, you can imagine a future where maternity care is going to receive the same kind of scrutiny. And we want to get that mindset going in facilities. And the summit provided a way to raise these issues and raise awareness and think about how you can use the infrastructure of quality improvement to actually change the hospital practices. And of course, the next step on the horizon is to worry about documentation and how you actually count and document infant feedings and practices and continuity of care in the hospital and of course, branching out from that. So I went through a lot really fast, and I'll just be available for questions. Thank you. Thank you very much.